We're in a series on the Ten Commandments of God. And I want to begin with a couple of texts that are not in your sermon outline. So I want you to take your Bible, if you would, with me, and turn to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. And if you would let your eyes fall on verses 12 and 13. I want you to listen very carefully what I'm going to share in the next couple of minutes, and hopefully you will mark your Bible with this. Then Moses said to the Lord, "You say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by what?'" We're going to talk about what's in a name. "I know you by name." God is saying to Moses, "I have an intimate relationship with you. I know you by name, and you also have found grace in my sight." Now he's simply telling God how God has viewed him. "Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." Are you with me so far? Turn to Psalm 103, just for a moment. Psalm 103, and I'd like to have you look with me at verse 7. Hold your Bible up if you have it. Now, I want you to catch this. This is very important. How important is it? Very, okay. "He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel." You know what the psalmist is saying? God, you had to show your power to the Israelites because they did not know you by name. They did not have an intimate relationship with you. So it was based upon your power being illustrated before them that they responded. But Moses, oh, that's different. I know him by name. Now turn to Psalm 25. I'm going to teach you something today. What am I going to do? Teach you. I'm a teacher. Not a preacher, but a teacher. I want you to stand up for a moment with me. Just stand up if you can, because you're going to need to use your hand. Hold your right hand up. Okay, listen to this. I taught this to the South Church, and they told me afterwards, one man said, "I'll never be the same again. I see God differently." Verse 4. See it? Okay, now listen, Psalm 25 and verse 4. "Show me your ways, O Lord." Put your hand on your heart. "Show me your ways, O Lord." Say it with me again. "Show me your ways, O Lord." Now listen to the next part. "Teach me your path." Hold your finger on your forehead. "Teach me, Lord, your path. Lead me in your truth and teach me." Hold your hand out. "Show me, Lord, you have my heart. Teach me, Lord, you have my mind. Lead me, Lord, you have my hand." Let's try it again. What's the first one? "Show me, Lord, you have what?" "You have my heart." He showed his ways to Moses. "Teach me, God, you have my mind. And lead me, Lord, you have my hand." And the whole church said what?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Now you can sit down. That exercise was good for you. So if I see you and our eyes meet and I ask you, what does Psalm 25 and verse 4 say? "Show me, Lord, you have my heart. Teach me, Lord, you have my mind. And lead me, God, you have my hand." We're in a series on the Ten Commandments, and the title is, what's in a name. So I want to rehearse them for you while you know them. You probably could repeat them by heart, right? Well, maybe not, but here they are. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, number one. Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee a graven image. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. Number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. We're going to talk about that commandment today. And number four, all Adventists know this, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Number five, honor your father and your mother. Don't send them to the nursing home. Honor them. Number six, you shall not murder. You can murder with your tongue. Number seven, you shall not commit adultery. A look of lust can do that. Number eight, you shall not steal. Number nine, you shall not give false testimony. Would you say those two words with me? False testimony. How do you like Pastor Gale? Well, you know, he's all right. He's a little loud, but you know, he will be okay. We're going to get used to him. Okay, the 10th commandment, verse 17. You shall not covet anything. Anything. Things last, God first. We have things first, God last. So God wants to look at the commandments that he has given in a fresh light. In Revelation chapter 14, we are told, let me just give you the third commandment so you don't miss this. What I'm going to say to you is probably going to be so important it's going to tread on your toe. I'm sure that you have never thought about how careless you may have been in taking the name of God in vain. Thou shalt not take the Lord your God in vain. His name is so important, he tells us not to take it in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Now, Revelation chapter 14 is one of the most important scriptures, I think, to Seventh-day Adventism. And I want you to notice that God begins with the everlasting gospel. If you're not born again, the Ten Commandments are rules and regulations. When you're born again, they are the desire of your heart. Psalm 19. Oh, how I love thy law. Nothing shall offend me. Nothing bothers me because I love God. Say amen to that. Oh, God is great. What an awesome God he is. And I saw an angel flying in the midst of heaven. Angels don't have messengers. The word angelos means message as well as messenger. Having the everlasting gospel, same gospel Paul preached. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works. Why? So that no one can boast. To preach to those that dwell upon the earth, we're doing it now. Saying with a loud voice, I'm condensing it a little. Fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven, the earth, the sea, and the springs of waters. Gospel, law, judgment. What is very interesting here is the gospel is the heart of this. Second Thessalonians, those who are lost obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Adventists have been great with the law of God. I wonder, have we missed at times the gospel? Ellen White thought so. And here is the patience. Oh, you will need patience if you're ever going to finish this race. To be filled with God, you must be emptied of yourself. You're going to need patience. And here are those who keep, not just believe, they keep the commandments of God, and they have the faith of Jesus Christ, the everlasting gospel and the law of God. Would you say amen to that? Isn't that good news to you? How does that sound to you? I belong to a people who love Jesus, and they follow the Lord wherever He leads. They follow Him. What church do you belong to? I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, and I'm not bashful. A pastor says if I'm bashful that God will strike me down. No, I didn't say that, but you're not bashful. And here, again, as we continue, what's in a name? What is really in a name? And I'd like to summarize that second commandment one more time here, too. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7 says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God in vain, or misuse His name. I want to begin by saying this to you. This is really interesting. There is a man named Paul Dickinson who has written a book about names. Now, some of you are going to laugh about this, but it is, in all actuality, truth. So we're going to look at some of these names that he has written about. He has a hobby of collecting strange and unusual names. He says sometimes names seem to be prophetic. In 1941, there were two men who were executed in the electric chair in Florida at the state pen, and their names were Wilburn and Frizzle. That actually happened. Recently in Montreal, there was a window washer who died by accident, falling as he was washing windows. His name was Will Drop. Others, he says, seem destined for certain occupations. Joe Bunt became a baseball coach. Dan Druff became a barber. Jeff Treadwell became a podiatrist. Go Forth and Catch Him were two guys who became police officers and partners. O'Neill and Prey became partners in church equipment. Wonderfully Trembly became a psychologist. And Zoltan Overy, you guessed it, he became a gynecologist. And P.P. Peters became a urologist. And a plaster contractor had the name Will Crumble. What's in a name? You shall have no other gods before me. Well, I want to talk to you about three things. There's reputation in a name. And listen to this. Have you ever heard people say he's making a name for himself? Raise your hand. Sure you have. He's making a name for himself. When somebody has a good reputation, we say that he has a good name. When he has a bad reputation, he has a bad name. When I say a name, automatically, you think of a person. Hitler. Martin Luther King. Elvis Presley. Oh, yeah, I can see the twinkle. I saw it. Some of you are Presleyites. I see it. A name represents character as well. What you are cannot be separated from what your name is once you're identified together. My name is Rocky Gale. I live off Rocky Ridge and Rocky Road. That's not bad. Where do you live? I live off Rocky Ridge. Oh. And what's your name again? Rocky Gale. And with a name like Gale, you have to be fast, you know. Because that's your name. You have to live up to your name. And number three, it represents your authority. Your authority, the authority you have. When I say stop in the name of, and I give some name that is unknown as far as authority goes, you will not stop. But if I'm wearing a badge and I say stop, there's an authority behind that. If I were to call you today, you'd say, oh, that's Pastor Gale. But if Obama called, you'd say, oh, that's the president. But I want you to know something. Now, I believe this with my whole heart. How much do I believe it? With my whole heart. I believe that a pastor called by God, anointed by the Holy Spirit, when you are anointed, you're appointed. When you're appointed, you are anointed, has authority from heaven to preach the good news. He is called by God. So I am not bashful about telling you truth. Even if you don't like it. I want to tell you it anyways. I'm going to rapid fire some of these, and some of these we will spend a little bit more time with. We're moving into this third commandment, which talks about using the name of the Lord in vain. And I want to show you ways that you can use His name. Take your sermon notes. You're going to need them as you follow me here. You can use the name of God, number one, to insult. You can use His name to insult. What do I mean by that? This is when you use profanity or swearing to express an irritation. Somebody said if cussing and cheating are crimes, then golf should be illegal. I heard a farmer who was late home to dinner. His wife said, did the wagon break down? The farmer said, no. But on the way, I offered a ride to a minister. And from that point on, the mules did not understand a thing I said. America is the most foul-mouthed nation in the world and becoming even more so. Today, a movie will not sell unless it has an R rating and there are cussing in it. You know what I'm talking about? And you're with your little children, your grandchildren. And you say, honey, cover your ears. I don't want you to hear this. Oh, come on now. Don't you think they know what you're doing? Books, magazines are filled with profanity. Even CDs and DVDs. The most well-known garbage mouths of our day are comedians such as Eddie Murphy. And these guys get paid big bucks to be foul-mouthed. Have you ever noticed how many things that hell gets compared to? It's cold as hell, hot as hell, raining like hell. It's a generic term. We use it for everything. And I'm going to show you something about it in just a moment. Why do people swear? Now, I want you to catch this. I want you to listen to it. They lack emotional control, and the main reason they do it is to impress other people. As a little kid, the first time you swore, you thought it was hot stuff. But the fact is, weak people have to use big words, strong words, to impress others. Any idiot can swear. It takes intellect and IQ. It takes no intellect and no IQ, no education to swear. I can teach a three-year-old to swear. A chimpanzee to swear. A parrot to swear. It doesn't show maturity because you swear. Are you with me so far? But it takes discipline to clear up your speech, especially when you're angry. You stub your toe, you hit your thumb. The guy cuts you off in traffic. I remember one day I was working with my dad long ago before I became a pastor. And we were putting a roof on an addition. My wife and I were putting on a trailer. I was just a young lad, and I was hammering the roof, and I hit my thumb, and my thumb exploded. My father had to go to prayer meeting. You got to catch this. Dad's in prayer meeting, and he's relating what happened earlier during the day. And one dear old saint spoke up, and she said, did he take the name of the Lord in vain? My father said, no, but he wasn't exactly praising God either. But I didn't take the name of the Lord in vain. People use God's name to insult and express irritation. I read this. As my five-year-old son and I were headed to McDonald's one day, we passed a car accident. Usually, when we see something terrible like this, we say a prayer for whoever might be hurt. So I pointed and said to my son, son, let's pray. On the back seat, I heard his earnest voice, dear God, please don't let those cars block the entrance to McDonald's. Number two, we use the name to indulge. Indulge. Please bear with me. This is the second time around today. We excuse ourselves and we blame God. God didn't want me to clean up the living room today, or I don't feel like getting out of bed, and so we blame God. God doesn't want me to honor the contract, or God doesn't want me to fulfill a business deal. Leviticus 19:12 says this, you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of the Lord your God. I am the Lord. Some people are professional at this. They say, God told me that here's what you should do. dishonest TV evangelists do this all the time. Who's well known for this? Help me out here. If you don't give this amount of money, I'm going to die. Who? Who's the man? You remember? Oral Roberts? That rings a bell, doesn't it? Do you know that spouses do this in their marriage? I prayed about this, and I know God wants us to buy a new car. That's generally from the husband. How are you going to argue with God? Well, we need a new car. That's all there is to it. Jimmy Carter said, God answers all prayers. Sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes no, and sometimes the answer is you got to be kidding. Number two, next. We use God's name to intimidate, And you know, when I think about this, how we intimidate, you know, we use God to control people. You know what I'm talking about. We control people all the time. I just mentioned an illustration of that. We control. I remember a man who was in an offshoot movement of Adventism, and he came to me and he said, did you know? And I said, no. And he went on to give me all kinds of facts and figures, and I finally said to him, I don't know where you're getting your information from, but you need to read the rest of the story. And he said, you need to wake up, Pastor. And I said, the last time I knew, my eyes were wide open. That was the last time he talked to me. Number four, trying to impress. Insecure people do this. They prove how spiritual they are by their jargon, by continuous religious phrases or spiritual cliches. Like, I use the name Jesus in a sentence, and it seems spiritual, so I use it again and again. And I remember reading this, bless God, that was a great sermon. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Listen, talk does not impress Jesus Christ. Lifestyle does. Are you with me? And Titus 1:16, the Bible says they profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified in every good work. We take God's name in vain when we claim to be committed to Him, but we don't back it up with our lifestyle. Pastor was visiting a home one day, and the mother came to the door. She said, hi, how are you? And he said, I'm doing fine. She said, I'm sorry I've missed church for so long, but you know I'm staying in touch with God, and I read all the time. So she turned to her daughter and she said, honey, bring Mama's favorite book. Oh my, oh my. So the little girl came out with Reader's Digest. She said, no, honey, I mean Mama's favorite book. And out she came with TV Guide. Are you with me? Okay, number five, impulsively. This is impulsiveness. In other words, I just caught a 10-pound fish. You know it's not 10 pounds. It's lucky if it weighs two. Right? I was fishing in the Umpqua River, and I caught a steelhead that was 3 feet long. No, it was 13 inches. Are you with me? You see what we do? Or we say this, Susie's pregnant, oh my Lord. I just split my pants, oh Lord. And you reduce God to a level of a wow or a far out. Don't make God an exclamation point. God says, when you use my name, take it serious. And there are ways where we can misuse God's name. Let me give you a simple illustration. Oh, gosh. Oh, gee. Right? What is gosh short for? God. What is G short for? Jesus. you are taking the name of the Lord in vain when you do that. Do you understand that? Will you agree with that? You take his name in vain. Like I was talking to a man one day, and he said, I don't want to hear any more of that. I said, what? He said, well, you know, that's my pet sin. And I don't want to hear it. Well, listen to the Bible text, Isaiah 29 and verse 13. Inasmuch as these people draw near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me. Somehow there's a difference between my walk and my talk. And when you pray, Matthew 6, 7, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. Oh, I have heard that before. I'm serious. And you know, we do, we rationalize. Well, you know, that wasn't a big thing to me. I didn't mean that. I was painting one day with a young girl named Jenny Nygaard from Denmark. She was in theology. Now, I'm not going to talk to you about whether women should be in theology or not. That's not my issue. But Jenny was on a stage painting. It was summertime. We were painting the dorms. And I said, oh, gee. Jenny gave a gasp, and I thought she had fallen off the stanchion, the ladder that we had set. She said, what are you doing? And she pointed out that I had taken the name of the Lord in vain. And I had not even thought about it. That's the real problem. I had not thought about it. Are you with me? You see what you can do? So I told her, Jenny, I am sorry. The Lord says, I will not, in Exodus 20 and verse 7, tolerate my name being misused. You shall not take my name in vain. And I want to hold you guiltless. Okay, how can you use God's name correctly? Take your notes and follow me. This is so good. If I told you my day was like this morning, you would laugh. It's been an interesting day at best. But anyway, here it is. Number one, reverence God's name continually. Write that in your notes. Reverence his name. Treat it with utmost respect. Use it carefully. Use it lovingly. Use it as an act of worship. Don't let it slip out flippantly. Don't act as if God is dead. I know God's not dead. I talked to him this morning and I'm in his family. So I know he's not dead. Do not treat him as though he is. Psalm 29, 2. Says, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of what? Say with me. Holiness. Oh, what a God he is. Say amen. He's a wonderful God. I remember a man telling me one day, I don't mind abusive language. I get used to it. And I said, that's what really gives me a problem. I do not ever want to get used to foul mouth. How many of you agree? And if you're watching a DVD or a video or television that uses the name of God in vain, the first act you need to do is change channels. What does this have to do with building strong families? One of the number one places we need to work on in our homes is our mouth. We probably say more unkind things at home than anywhere else. Verbal abuse is rampant in families today. It causes irreparable damage to relationships. Do you know that I can say something to you that you will never forget? It will hurt your spirit. It would be easier than to hit you. How many of you know that's true? One family who decided to work on this together adopted a method called the swearing jar. Anytime anybody cussed, they would put a dollar in it, and they held each other accountable. It was a great idea. They had a full jar at the end of the week. Psalm 9 and verse 10 is beautiful. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have forsaken those who have not forsaken those who seek you. I love that. Listen to Psalm 61:5. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Oh, I want to be with God's great company. Say amen. When the Lord comes in the clouds of heaven. Number two, represent his name clearly. 2 Timothy 2:19 tells us the Lord knows them that are his. The Lord knows them that are his. And because of that, let everyone who names the name of the Lord, or the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. And listen to Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, you know it all. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And the whole church would say what? Amen. Oh, what a God. As a Christian, you need to be careful about slang. Number three, rely on God's name completely. Rely on it. Psalm 33 and verse 21 says, for our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. We have trusted in his name. You know, there are thousands of verses in the Bible that say God has made a number of promises that he will honor those of us who take him at his word. Only a perfect person can come into the presence of God. That's why we need Jesus. Would you agree? Should I say in Jesus' name every time I pray? It's not a bad idea. Well, it doesn't mean you're a sinner if you don't, because Jesus acknowledges your heart condition. See, I can go through repetitious prayers. You and I are going to be judged one day for every idle word. Wouldn't you like to have God the Father look at you and say, there's my son, there's my daughter, look at how wonderful they are. Oh my, everywhere they go, the love of the Lord just seeps out of their life and they attract people like a magnet. Wouldn't you love God to say that about you? Oh, I want God to say that about me. That's what I want. I want God to say that. Listen to the text. Again, because we have trusted in his holy name. Listen to the next verse. Acts 4:12. Why? Because there is no salvation in any other name other than the name of Jesus. In John chapter 20 and verse 31, the Bible says, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Oh, I love that. I have eternal life today. If you believe that, look at your neighbor and say, I have eternal life. I remember my father, he said before he died, I hope I'm saved. I said, Dad, you're 88. You mean you're not sure? What chance have I? If you are not sure. Did God create you and me to have a big question mark regarding our relationship with him? My last name is what? Say it with me. I belong to Wilson and Lucy Gale. They may have deceased, but I am their child forever. I belong to Lucy and Wilson Gale. I belong to Jesus Christ. Would you say amen? Amen. Is that true? Do you believe that? Yes. I want to give you an illustration. That is what? It's a dollar bill. What is it now? Well, let's see. What if I step on it? What if I grind it? What if I have dirt all over it? What is it? It never changes. Don't you miss this. You are a child of God. And you belong to him. Say amen to that. Oh, yes. Nothing can snatch you out of the hand of God. You have the choice. John 20:31. I love that text. And listen to Luke 6:45. The good man brings good things out of the good stored in his heart. It overflows. It comes out of his life. See, in other words, and I love this, listen, for out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. You take a man born again, and you know, you can tell immediately, I was in at Lincoln City. I'm going to keep you a minute, so don't pack up and leave. I was in Lincoln City at the Pendleton store. I like
Pendleton wool. Oh, you feel that on your hands, and it's great, you know. And you wear these wool shirts. When you become 60, you wear these wool shirts. You look dignified, you know. Well, I'm walking through Pendleton, and I'm looking at the shirts, and this little girl walks over because I'm holding our Pekingese dog. And she walks over and says, "That's your dog?" I said, "Yes. I love dogs." I said, "So do I." I said, "How old are you?" She said, 12. And we began to talk. She said, "Mister, you look like a nice man." I said, "I am." "And you look like a nice girl." She said, "I am." We talked for 35 or 40 minutes in that store, and I'm thinking, this girl, if she had five more minutes with me, I could lead her to Jesus. Are you with me? Oh, she was so tender, so sweet, so innocent. She said, "Mister, can I introduce you to Mom and Dad?" And I said, "I'd like that." And we turn and we walk over, and she said, "This is Rocky Gale." Name. "Yes." And she introduced me. And I said, "I'm a pastor." And I said to the mother, "You have a remarkable daughter." She said, "Oh, we know." I said, "She is brilliant." "We know that too." And I almost blurted out, "She is ready to accept Jesus Christ as her Savior." If I had had 5 minutes with that girl. Because I began to talk about God, and I saw the light go on. Oh, my friend, we live for Jesus. We do. We live for Him and His name. We do. Listen, last, as we wind down, remain in the truths of God's Word. Don't let God's truth slip through your fingers like an anchor that loses contact with a boat. John 2:4, he that says, "I know him," and does not keep his commandments, is a lie, and the truth isn't in him. When you begin to lose your prayer time and your study time and your time with God, you walk out the door and you wonder, whatever happened? It didn't happen with God. God's address never changed. You moved. And the last text, whoever claims to live in him must walk, what? As Jesus walked. Boy, I have to say, that's a great message. If you've heard this before, chalk it up to old-timers. Alzheimer's. Little boy was with his mom and his dad. He was at the counter, and there was a big basket of cherries. Are you with me? And the man behind the counter owned a little country store. And he said, "Son," he said, "help yourself." The little boy kept his hands behind his back, and his mother said, "Go ahead." He said, "You could have some. Reach in, take some cherries." But he did not. And the owner spoke up again. "Son," he said, "help yourself. I have these cherries so that you can help yourself. Take a handful." And he still did not. And finally, the man reached in with this great big brawny hand, and he pulled out a pile of cherries, and this little boy stuck both hands out and he filled them. And he's walking back to the car with his mother, smiling like a Cheshire cat. His mom said, "Oh, why didn't you take the cherries?" He said, "Simple, Mama. His hands are bigger than mine." Did you get it? Say, "Got it. Got it. I live through the name of Jesus Christ. I belong to Him, and there is nothing in this world that will take me out of His hand. I don't care how difficult things are. I don't care what I lose in life. I will see Jesus come in the clouds of heaven." And I say, glory, hallelujah. I want to see the Lord come. I want to go home with Him in glory. And one day there'll be no more sorrow, no more crying. These former things will be washed away, and we will live forever in an earth made new. And the saints of God will rejoice in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand as we have prayer. Oh, my Father, oh, precious God, we say Your name with a humble reverence. Oh, that you would love your children and give your own son for us. We can't even conceive of that. Sweet Jesus, Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Dark Valley, the bright and the morning star. Oh, what a wonderful Savior you are. Our hearts melt. We think about you, how you accept us and you love us, Lord, and you don't let go of us. Some of us are hanging by our fingernails and someone is walking on the nails. Oh, God, keep us from falling, we pray. As we take your name today in comfort, knowing that if we come in the name of Jesus Christ and we come through his merits, dear Father, you accept us as your children. And I want you to know that we are proud, we are thrilled, we are happy to be the children of the living King. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. Oh, what a God. Raise your hand if you think that's true. What a wonderful, wonderful God. May God bless you and keep you. May his countenance shine upon you and give you peace. Amen?
Amen.
What is that saying? You're going out and you're coming in and you're rising and you're sitting down. May God be with you.